Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Clean Science and Technology Limited Q3 FY23 results conference call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thanks, Lizanne, and good evening, everyone, and welcome to Clean Science and Technology Limited Q3 FY23 post-result earnings call. The call will be initiated with a brief management discussion on the quarterly and nine-month performance, followed by an interactive Q&A session. Management team will be represented by Mr. Siddharth Sikchi, Promoter and Executive Director, and Mr. Pratik Bora, Chief Financial Officer. A gentle reminder that today's discussion may contain certain forward-looking statements and opinions with respect to the anticipated future performance of the company. Such forward-looking statements involve a number of known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and assumptions, which could cause actual results or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements. With that disclaimer upfront, I'll hand it over to Siddharth for his initial comments. Over to you, Siddharth.
Thank you, Ankur. Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone. We are happy to share our Q3 FY23 results. Let me begin by sharing this news that our manufacturing plants for HALS 701 and 770 in our expansion in our Unit 3 got commercialized in early December. Now the product is streamlined. We have also sent commercial samples to customers within India, and we are glad that we have received our maiden order for HALS in this month of January. We are also very happy to announce that we are the only and the first Indian company to have commercialized this technology in India. As usual, we had committed some timelines, and we have been very close to these timelines. On financial highlights, some key financial highlights for this quarter are: I'm very happy to announce that we have recorded our highest ever quarterly profit after tax. We have recorded milestone of first quarterly PBT, which is more than 100 crore+. This is the second quarter, I mean quarter two as well as quarter three, where margins improvement have been seen. Also, I am very pleased to announce that this is the first time we have announced interim dividend after our listing. Also, the ROC stands at a very healthy number of 53.6%, and I'm happy to say that our nine-month FY23 revenue stand at about 719 crore, which is 5% more than our one-year revenue of FY22. Our year-on-year revenue growth continues to grow across all geographies and segments. Revenues for Q3 touches 237 crore, which is an increase of 31 crore as compared to Q3 FY22. Exports have risen by 38% and domestic business revenues have grown by 17% on year-on-year basis. Our key raw materials, energy and fuel cost has corrected a little bit, and that is the reason you see these numbers returning. EBITDA increased to 108 crores as against 76 crores, which is a 42% rise on year-on-year basis. PBT at 112 crore and PAT of 84 crore grew by 44% and 45% respectively as compared to Q3 FY22. The balance sheet continues to be debt-free with cash balance of approximately 280 crores. for 9 month FY23 versus 9 month FY22, the sales improvement was led by a combination of good volume growth and improved realizations across all products. 9 month year-on-year revenue growth is 50%. For this 9 month FY23 performance, pharma and agro contributes to 68, 19 and 11% respectively to the revenues. Revenue mix stands at 72% export and 28% domestic. Contribution from our new products is now increasing steadily and currently which stands at about 10%. On capex, we have incurred an capex of 105 crores during the 9 month of FY23, with majority going towards our new plants for HALS in Unit 3 and upgradation of our existing equipment for efficiency improvement. And as always mentioned, these capex are done through internal accruals. Construction activity at our fully owned subsidiary Clean Fino Chem Limited is on track, and various activities in this regard like site layout, initial civil construction and allied activities are progressing quite well. In terms of key organizational announcement, I would like to welcome our new CFO, Mr. Sanjay, on board. He has a vast experience of 35 plus years in finance domain and is a valuable addition to the Clean Science team. Pratik Bora continues to be a key member and will oversee functions of strategy and corporate finance in his new role as Vice President Finance. In lieu of the new products that are under development or that are in pipeline to launch, we have also added strength to our sales and business development team. Our current R&D team stands at approximately 80 people and it is further due to grow in the coming few months. The company are fully committed to sustainability and continuously implement several initiatives across the organization. We are continuously upgrading our facilities and investing in various new technologies across all our manufacturing units, which help us to increase our energy efficiency and improve our focus on 3R, which is reduce, recycle and reuse. Our initiatives have helped us significantly to reduce water energy consumption and also reduce our emissions. We are committed to continually implement globally benchmark ESG practices. On CSR, our focus still remains on education, environment, sustainability and healthcare. On outlook, with our new series of products and a strong R&D pipeline, we continue to focus on diversifying our product portfolio and geographical presence. Our existing market segments continues to be robust and introduction of HALS will further contribute to the performance chemical segment. We expect this contribution to increase in FY24 and onwards. And that's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Sanjesh from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Siddharth.
Hi.
Thanks for taking this question. A couple of them from my side. First, on the China side, I think China has opened up finally. We have a very large exposure to China, almost 35% of our revenue. and which has sort of underperformed in last 2 years for the obvious reasons. Do you think China open up can add tailwinds to our growth beyond the existing product expansion and the new product expansion?
Sorry, will China what? Sorry?
China opening up help in terms of driving the faster revenue growth in that geography? China has underperformed our growth, if you see, geographies.
Right? So, Sanjish, over the past few years, I mean last 2 years, we did not have any stoppage or reduction in business in China. In fact, I feel that maybe with China opening up with full swing, could only help us to increase our business in China.
Yeah, that was the precise reason. Do you think that could add to the growth as in China opening up and sourcing more?
Yes,
from,
it will.
Help
it,
us,
shall,
right?
It shall add to the growth.
It shall add to the growth. Got it. Second, on the pharma piece, I think we added PBQ in the course of last 1 year.
Right.
Well, the growth in pharma looks slightly underwhelming. Any particular reason or any particular product which is causing the drag on the pharma growth?
See, para-benzoquinone in itself is a little, has the market, I mean, the one of the key agro intermediate became quite slow in this year. So we saw quite a reduction in the volume of PBQ. But I am expecting post-March these increase in volumes to restart again.
Got it. So basically it's largely PBQ.
Largely PBQ, which is a new product.
Guaiacol and the DCC continues to do well.
Yeah, because Guaiacol is a co-product and we have to sell to the extent we produce it, and which we are able to sell quite, that's not a big issue for us.
Okay, got it. The next question is on the sequential revenue growth. There was a decline of 4%, while the gross profit has improved by 3%. Is it fair to assume that some of the reduction in the raw material prices has been passed down, and hence there is a decline in the sequential revenue and volumes have grown, right?
Absolutely, yes. You're right. So wherever there is spot businesses, where there are spot businesses where we have to adjust the prices to the adjustment in the lowering of raw material prices.
Got it. No, why I'm asking this question is last quarter, you said that you would want the margins to stabilize at 39-40%, and this quarter, which was already half a quarter into this quarter, and we are at 45% margin. In half a quarter, that looks like slightly stretched. Were you surprised, or it's more mathematical ways you have passed on the margins? How have been your EBITDA per kg, if you want to assess that? Is there an improvement even in that?
I don't think we can share the EBITDA product-wise or segment-wise. But
I'm more willing to look at the trend.
No, so Sanjay, just to add here, there have been three major factors which have contributed to EBITDA margin. The first factor, as you rightly pointed out, is the raw material cost, which is corrected to the tune of close to 17-18% between our flagship raw materials. And the end product prices have largely remained steady. The second key factor is the power and fuel cost. So you'll see almost a 2% improvement there. And the third factor has also been on year-on-year basis, if you see, now we are at a very larger revenue base, close to 240 crore a quarter. And our fixed cost is now getting absorbed over this larger revenue base. So, of course, there are benefits of operating leverage, which are playing out.
Got it. Now, coming to that other expenses, which has declined, this is purely because of the reduction in the power cost and the freight cost. Because I thought we have started commercialized health. So some of the cost would have come from the commercialization of the plant, while it has decreased 15% quarter on quarter. Is there any one-off or it is steady state? You don't see any?
No. So in other expense, there is no one-off. So a couple of things have played on power and fuel cost. The coal pricing has come down from 13 rupees to 11 rupees per kg. So we saw a delta of close to 2.5 crore there. Besides, there was a small refund of coal set, which has also benefited us. So that has led to a moderation in other expense cost. But apart from that, there is no one-off.
Because it has come down from 47 crores to 39.5 crores, there's a delta of 7 to 8 crores. You did mention about 2 crores from the coal. Other 5 crore benefit is coming from?
Q2 to Q3. So basically there are three big ticket items, power and fuel cost. Second is repair and maintenance.
Okay.
And the third is other expenses put together. Mm-hmm. Where there is, of course, a CSR component as well.
Okay. So there is no forex gain or anything of...
Mr. Sanjesh, we are not able to hear you clearly. Can you speak a bit louder?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
A little better.
Yeah, apologies for that.
Yeah. So Sanjesh, forex gain sits in other income, not in other expense.
Okay.
So either gain or loss, we record it in other income line item.
So the increase in other income...
Mr. Sanjesh. May we request that you return to the question queue?
This is a follow-on. I'm completing it. This is a follow-on.
All right, sir. Please proceed.
This increase in the other income from 2.8 crore to 12.6 crore is what that explains?
Yeah. So in other income, 2.5 crore, there are two heads to it. First is the regular treasury income and the forex income, which is 4.5 crore plus 2.7 crore, forex plus treasury, 7 crore. And the balance 5 crore is coming from disposal of one non-core asset and some coal sales refund which we received this quarter.
Got it. Thanks, I got all the clarification on the bookkeeping, but I had few strategic questions, but I will come back in the queue. Thanks, Siddharth.
Thank you.
The next question is on the line of Arun Prasad from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Siddharth, if we take your two major products, NHQ and BHA, how much room you have to grow volumes from the current levels without the need to put additional capacity? Some ballpark numbers will be helpful.
So here, we had increased our capacities by 50% in the month of April. And of course, we had anticipated that this capacity in itself will take care for 2 years of our needs. But we were able to commercialize and the market was able to absorb all of this, maybe also because of the European energy crisis. But I feel that our MEHQ and Guaiacol, because these are co-products of each other, should grow at typically 5 to 6%. And maybe not for now, but maybe after a year or so, I would be able to exactly comment on whether a newer facility will be needed or not. At the moment, it will be a little difficult to confirm on this point.
So this 5% growth, 5 to 6% growth is on the category level, right?
On the category level.
So your growth should be much higher if you are gaining market share?
No, but now the market share, see, after a point, it will become very difficult to grow market share and it will only lead to price revision because you will have to lower the prices to get additional market share. So we feel that new growth will come from our new segments of product, which is the HAL segment, which we have commercialized, and also the new products like PBQ, TBHQs and other pharma and agro intermediates.
All right. And regarding the HQ prices...
Mr. Arun. Sir, can you speak a bit louder? We're not able to hear you.
Sure. I hope this is clear. Regarding the hydroquinone prices, do you see any softening of the prices? Do you see any early indication of such softening in this year?
HQ prices have already revised. They have started revising. I mean, it had gone as high as $13, and today it is already at slightly above $7. And I expect these prices can also further revive a little bit more because conventionally hydroquinone is about $5.5 to $6 a product.
Right. So if we are going back to that kind of a pricing regime, how much MEHQ supply can come from your competition, because then it becomes very attractive for the competition to come back into this market, isn't it?
again, when you see HQ, when they convert it into MEHQ, they also get additional product called as PDMB, paradimethoxybenzene, which is now has almost the market has reduced to substantially lower levels. I mean, there are available PDMB but no offtakes. So that byproduct has to be monitored and addressed before making the main product. And plus, of course, the effluent related issues are always there. And what happens is for products like additives like or performance chemical like MEHQ, my customer prefers steady supplies. They don't like on and off of supplies because, you know, these are very important additives for them. So if somebody then restarts an MEHQ facility and if I am able to offer them, they would still want to buy from me because we have a sustainable process and we do not have these on and off and not dependent of just a raw material called as HQ.
So whatever you have gained market share because of the closure of the HQ-based suppliers, so you are confident you will be able to maintain that and sustain it?
100%.
Right. That's very helpful. My last question is on HALS. I think you have reiterated the timeline. So can we expect the ramp up in next 6 months? Is it the right assumption at this point of time?
Yeah, because see, now we have commercialized, the samples have started flowing in the customers, people have approved, we have started getting some maiden orders. So I am very hopeful that in the next 6 months, 770 will be well entrenched in the market.
Okay. Typically, for the additives like this, isn't the approval process is longer than, say, a couple of years? Why each for us, especially for HALS, it's a very short period?
The advantage of HALS is, first of all, this is a majorly Indian business. Typically, India is a very price-sensitive market. In compared to MEHQ or BHA, first, MEHQ is a market out of India like Europe, US, Japan, where the timelines are far higher to approve a vendor. But these markets which go into master batches is anyways a very price-sensitive market. Plus, these products are not going into food products. So where approvals are far higher in a cosmetic or a food industry, the approval process is far higher compared to a master batch. And since the market is completely based out of India, I mean, majorly we are going to first target Indian market, which is price sensitive. So the import is about 3,500 tons. And I am only targeting 30% of only Indian market share, which is a very doable number.
Okay. And the price of 770 series is sustaining at the levels that you anticipated last year?
Because since raw material prices have come down, the prices of HALS have come down to about $6-$6.5, and we are able to maintain that. That's not an issue.
Okay. And initially, we will be taking a little bit of price cut to fulfill our capacity, isn't it right?
Sorry?
We'll have to take a price cut route to fulfill the capacity.
I need to make it attractive for a customer that he has to have that ability to shift from his existing vendor. And fortunately, because it is overseas vendor, so there is always an inclination to buy in India because just in time we can supply them as per their needs. They don't have to keep stock in their factories. So, you know, all those advantages we offer plus the import duty of 8%. So all those benefits they get when they approve us in their system.
Okay. So what kind of utilization we can expect on the 770 and 701 by the end of, say, next year?
We should expect at least 50 to 60% of capacity utilization for sure, because by December our other line of HALS will begin. So in the next 6 to 9 months, my target is to touch about 1,000 ton of sales minimum.
Okay.
I mean 120 tons per month types.
That's a very, very aggressive number, isn't it?
Well, at least we keep some good margins. I mean, we should have some higher targets, and so that, I mean, you know, at least I target we should sell 100 ton a month, say by October, November. And let's see. I mean, I think it is possible, but let's see how it goes on.
Okay. Thanks for that. All of this.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Siddharth. Just two, questions there. One on health. I recollect we earlier mentioning that, we had already cracked a couple of products at lab scale, pilot scale, and we were looking to scale them up. Two of them are already sort of commercialized. One first question, what are the timelines that one should look at in terms of launching of new health product? And secondly, from a revenue ramp-up or a product approval perspective, will the sharper sort of, revenue ramp-up in health products will come only when we have, let's say, a portfolio of maybe seven, eight products, which makes, an impressive offering from a client, from attracting client perspective? Or it is slow and gradually and it will keep on adding up? How should one look at that?
I'll answer one question at a time. So all other healths are now successfully developed, which comprise of 622, 944, 119, 2020, and 944. Okay? All these products start by December. So between December and March 24, all these products will come online. So that is answering your first question. Second question is, Indian market does not buy all of it. So they buy majorly 770 and they buy majorly 944. So today when I am starting with 770, the whole reason of starting 770 is that India does not need this buffet of all these products. Because these are different segments and India chooses 770 more than other HALs in their process. So we are, so 770 in Indian market or Indian perspective does not have any implication if I have other products in the basket or not. But when I start with 770, I develop confidence of customer by December. So when my new capacity ramp up comes in, they are convinced that even the other health, we will be able to supply them with good or the quality which they are currently buying. And we are actually a sustainable source for them.
Sure. On the domestic market, that helps. On the international market, how should one look at the ramp up or the product approval?
Yes. So international markets, we are already talking to some of the distributors. Of course, they have this thought that we can start by sending samples of 770 and telling the customers that see, these other products in pipeline are going to come in about 9 months time, which is not a very, very long waiting period. I mean, by the time I get samples, by the time they approve it, they can see that in the next few months we will be ramping up the other facilities as well.
Sure. And on the pricing wise, competition here, since BASF is the largest one and, there are respective power gas related issues there, how our pricing would be, how will be faring, pricing of our products versus theirs? What could be the gap?
See, I think we will have to offer at least 5% discount, 5 to 10% discount where BASF is predominantly present. That is how customer will get that boost. And plus with this whole power energy issues, I'm sure even a European would want to look at Indian source to, because if this power problem persists or returns or whatever, they still need another supplier non-EU based so that they can depend or they can have two suppliers for this product.
Sure. And on a backward integration side, any thoughts there for health, or it is still probably early days?
No. We are fully backward integrated. We are starting from the basic raw material, acetone and ammonia. That is the whole beauty of this technology. These are catalytic transformations and we are starting from basic raw material. I cannot make acetone and I cannot make ammonia. So, these are the most commonly available commodity chemicals which we are using to make the entire series of health.
Sure. That's helpful. Let me get back into the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Abhijit Akela from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and thanks so much for taking my questions. First, just on the revenues and volumes for this quarter, there's been a modest decline in revenues on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Is this, is it possible to share the volume numbers for, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, like what the volume growth might have been and how much prices were down?
No. No, obviously we are not very comfortable sharing the volume and pricing for individual products. But I mean, quarter on quarter is not a fair comparison here because, you know, Q3 is generally a leaner period for us because it, anyways, majority of the sales is coming from export market, and because of general inventory destocking, exports are a little slower. So year on year comparison would be a fair comparison.
Okay, got it. And as you mentioned previously, the EBITDA per kilo, all spreads would have actually improved because of the falling raw material prices. That's why the profit margins have picked up. Is that fair to interpret?
Yes. And the correction in raw material prices has not transpired into correction in the end product prices. The end product prices have largely remained steady.
Got it. Thank you so much. And one last thing, the presentation mentions that about 10% of revenues have come from new products. Is it possible to just share some color on, which of these have prominently contributed to this?
So these are TBHQ, PBQ, and Veratrol. So these
Veratrol.
Are new products which we have started and which have contributed to 10%.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue for more.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Vora from Purnata Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I would like to ask a question. So my question was partially answered when you answered an earlier question. But I would like to ask, how do you look at the competition in India for MEHQ and glycol specifically, given that one of the players is coming up with a capacity in the next year? Thank you.
We will, I think, like to focus on our business and rather focus on what others are doing. I think this is how we would like to remain. And we'll see if competition comes. We think we are quite equipped to counter the new competition in this business.
Okay. But so, sir, would it have an impact on margin for a while or market share for a while, or we would be able to maintain that?
We'll be able to maintain. Let the capacity first come in.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Archit Joshi from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks a lot, sir, for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. So my question was on a comment that you made earlier that the Indian customers don't need the plethora of hazards we intend to manufacture in the future. So there's naturally going to be us looking at the exports opportunity in HALS. So I just wanted to understand how the approach is going to be in terms of selling these newer HALS that we'll eventually start manufacturing in our facilities later on. Because there is stiff competition from, global majors like BASF. And since, this is again going to be a product which will have quite a bit of customer stickiness, how difficult or easy would it be to kind of grab market share from them? So just your thoughts on that.
See, when all the products which we have started in our earlier days of career have been manufactured by someone or the other. For instance, MEHQ, when we started, Solvay was a very, very dominant player globally. However, over the years, we were able to establish our footprint and increase our market share. However, those times and this time, the difference is today we are quite matured in the market. We have distributors across the globe. We have customers whom we have known. So the penetration will not be as difficult as it was in those earlier days. And the second important is that as a purchaser, BASF is also quite, strict on their policies, where we as a smaller player will be quite flexible. For instance, packaging. If a customer needs specific packaging, BASF would not do a specific packaging for a specific customer. But for a player like us, we will be able to do this, and that is how we will win over these customers compared to, and I am not looking, plus the best part about the HALS is the market itself is growing at about 10-odd%. So without too much of disturbing these big boys of the game, we will still be able to get a reasonable market share for us.
Understood, sir. Just one thing on the market that you spoke about, this is growing at 10%. I think in the past you have mentioned that this is a $1 billion market. And there's just some confusion I had with respect to the volumetric size of it. You mentioned that it's about 12,000 tons in terms of volumes. But if I do a simple math, then it works out to be like a $90-$95 per kg sort of a product on a blended basis. Is there some discrepancy in my understanding? Is it that the 12,000-13,000 tons that we are looking at is only specific to the product that we are manufacturing, or the entire hash market is as that big and the realization is actually as high as that?
The entire hash market, meaning adding all the global capacities, stand at $1 billion. I am just making some percentage of this. So hence your assumption of calculating my volumes and dividing by 1 billion and making $95 is not right. It's incorrect way.
Okay. Sorry, I still couldn't get that. So the 12,000-13,000 tons that we had spoken of earlier is specific to the products that we are going to manufacture.
And which is combination of all the products. Meaning that 770, 701, 119, 944, 202, I mean whatever.
Got it. Sir, I believe is it that the $1 billion market size is for all light stabilizers? Because I think there are UV stabilizers also. Is it very specific to HALS?
HALS is the major part. UV stabilizer is like very, very minor percentage in this entire HALS business. And these are, instead of UV stabilizers, these are called UV absorbers. Whereas HALS is called as UV stabilizers.
Understood, sir. Understood. That clarifies a lot, sir. Thank you. Thanks for that.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. My first question is in terms of capacity utilization across three segments. If you can just broadly tell us in performance chemicals, pharma and FMCG, maybe excluding HALS, how has been the capacity utilization by Q3 end?
I think performance chemical was 60-65%, pharma agro was 19%, and FMCG was about 10-12%.
Sorry, a small correction there. These are revenue contribution numbers, which you just mentioned. In terms of capacity utilization, performance chemical is higher, close to 75-odd%, followed by pharma, which dipped to close to 65%, and FMCG chemical is between 68-70%.
Right. Thank you so much. And this excludes HALS, because HALS is started just now, right?
Yes, HALS is excluded in this.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Second question is in terms of the CAPEX that we are planning. So if you just can give us the details in terms of FY23 CAPEX and FY24 CAPEX in terms of different segments and what will be the amount. Thank you.
Yeah. So FY24, in the parent company, there will be a small maintenance CAPEX, but the majority of the CAPEX will happen in the subsidiary company, which could be north of 150-odd crores.
Okay, so it will be, and FY23?
FY24.
FY23, for the first 9 months, we have done 105.
In the parent company and in subsidiary company, we have infused 65 crores. Over and above this, 105 crores.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you so much, and best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, boss.
Hello, Kareem. Yeah. So I think the comment that you made about the fact that, you know, during the quarter, raw material prices have come off, but the end product prices are holding stable. So, sir, is this the nature of our product portfolio that our end product prices are reasonably inelastic from a pricing perspective? And I guess in periods of raw material, and it they're not really impacted by the raw material volatility either way?
So basically, the beauty of performance chemical is such that people see there is a range which is stuck in the purchaser's mind. So when the raw materials increase steeply, they don't want to increase steeply, but even when the raw materials fall steeply, they are not looking for total correction. So that is the beauty of this spec chem business, is that it is really very little price bound compared to the raw material volatility. Hence in quarter one, in the earlier quarters when the raw materials were quite steeply high, we were not able to pass everything to the customer, and which is why our customer base still remains intact to us.
Fair enough. Fair to assume that during the period or during a phase where if the raw materials stay reasonably benign, our gross margin reasonably strongly hold on as they've done in the past, barring aberration in the last few quarters.
Sorry?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. And then secondly, on your other expenses. Now, in the current manufacturing network that we have, or the setup that we have, is our fixed costs around staff costs and overheads, are they largely in the base now? So whatever revenue growth that we will get will incrementally have operating leverage on it?
Absolutely, yes. Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Arun Prasad from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity once again. Now that your R&D bandwidth is mostly free, given that HALS has moved to the commercial stage and operation stage almost, how many products you are currently working on R&D side, and when we can expect the next major announcement regarding the new products?
So what we prefer is, in going forward is, when we are about to commission the facilities or when we are in mid-construction phase is when we would make the announcement, not make earlier announcements anymore.
Okay, so we will be only announcing once you have built a plant, or is it like that?
Yeah, we prefer doing that way. We do it rather than just make announcements.
Okay. Just as an indication, how many products are there in your pipeline at this point of time, R&D side?
There would be more than 10 products at any given point of time.
And all these products are in the similar end categories or similar adjacencies, or it's something away from your current...
Some are in performance chemicals, some are in agro, pharma, intermediates. So our space remains quite we are quite clear about the space we want to operate. So we are quite sticking to this space and we like this space quite a bit.
Okay.
But just to answer your question, some very interesting products are working on pilot scale and very, very soon we will start working on the plant. So just after HALS commission, there will be a line of interesting products coming up too.
Okay. So this CapEx guidance of 150 crores includes the plant, this plant as well?
So basically when in a green field, when you start any green field, you have to start with everything together. You need to build a common admin block, you need to build a common utility block, you need to build a common effluent treatment facility. So some of these facilities will be useful for any other plant we build. And next CapEx will only be pertaining to that manufacturing block, but not with overall site development, which always you have to do when you start with the first line of business.
Right. So what I was asking is, the new product that you said you will launch after HALS, that already the construction underway? Or?
No. We want to first let this HALS come to a decent size and shape, because we have this... we want to start this production by December, or at least have commercial runs by December. So we don't want to divert too much of attention into getting into something else right now, because HALS in itself is a very large segment we are getting into. So once we reach a decent scale here, in terms of construction or something, then probably by March end, we might start construction for our other facilities.
Understood. Thanks, Siddharth. Very helpful. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So you mentioned that we have strengthened our sales and business development team along with R&D. So in terms of the staff cost expenses, would this be the trend going forward? Increase in terms of the inflation?
Not too much. Don't worry. Our numbers are never going to be very flamboyant. And with the revenues growth coming in, it'll be on similar levels. So don't worry about that bit.
Sure. That's wonderful. Second thing, in terms of CapEx, just one clarification on the subsidiary front. We mentioned about 150 crores of CapEx, and partly this will go in terms of infrastructure and partly for creating capacities. So in this particular phase, how much amount of CapEx will go for capacity creation?
So actually, this 150 will go towards these HALS products, which we just mentioned. It will go for these HALS products put together.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Garvis Goel from Invest Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Sir, all of my questions have been answered. Just one question.
Louder, madam. You're too soft.
Okay. Now, am I audible now?
Better.
Hello. Okay.
Yeah, better.
Sir, our company's product finds applications in various diversified industries like pharma, agri, agro, and cosmetics, etc. Can you please give me a brief outlook how the demand traction and things are happening there, and how do you see them shaping up in the future?
Sorry, I have not understood your question. What do you want to know? How is shaping what?
So, industry outlook, overall industry outlook, what you are expecting from the demand traction side from our industries in which we are supplying the products.
Let me answer your first question. So performance chemicals is looking quite robust. Same is the case with pharma. Little bit agro is down. So that is what I mentioned about PBQ, parabenzoquinone. But all in all, it's a decent growth. So I don't see any too much negative vibes around it.
Okay. Sir, can you guide me the next 1 or 2 years outlook?
How are you saying? Audio sounding very soft. Can you speak a bit louder?
We are not giving any forward-looking statements. Sorry.
Okay. Thanks. That's it for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjesh from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Siddharth. Thanks for taking the questions again. First, I wanted to understand our go-to-market strategy, particularly you did elaborate on the domestic market, but can you similarly help us understand for this 701 and the other product which we are targeting the international market, which are the application which you think are low-hanging and will be very easy to tap, and number two, which are the geographies which you think there is an inherent demand and which fits very well in our portfolio. These are the first two questions.
I'll give you very broad view, Sanjesh. I cannot give you product-wise and market strategies and application and area-wise segment breakup. These are very, very
minute. The strategy
is, like our other products, we will have both channels. We will have direct customers and we will have distributors for these products, because European or American customers who prefer stock points, they would like to only buy through distributor channels. And we have our existing distributors who are already into additive businesses or performance chemical businesses, are quite equipped to understand these markets. So these will be our first point of contact. And the sales which we have made in domestic, as I explained to you, the domestic market. So this is all, I mean, this is how a broader market will look like.
Got it. Second, again, the question on the HALS. You said that it's growing at 10%, which looks like a phenomenally fast, considering that the global GDP is growing at 3%. What are the application which is driving the HALS growth to grow at such a rapid pace? Is there a new applications being developed? How should one see this 10% growth, and would be very helpful if you can help us understand what is driving the growth.
Each product has a different application, and we will be able to send you across, you know, because these are 11 products with 11 different applications across different segments. So it will be very difficult to explain you on telephone call.
Great. I will get in.
You can get in touch with Pratik and he'll send you the details.
Got it.
Thank you
from my side, Siddharth. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandesh.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That is the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
So I thank all of you for taking time out to understand our results and for the interesting questions. With this, I look forward. Of course, we have declared an interim dividend, and I look forward to again getting in touch with all of you folks after our Q4 or FY23 numbers. So thank you again, all of you, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Axis Capital, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you can now disconnect your lines. Thank you.